Cripple Creek Music in Ashland.
So, what I want to talk about tonight is samsara. And so samsara is Sanskrit for cyclic existence. Okay, and...
Is that the definition?
Cyclic. Well, that's the way it gets translated. It gets translated as cyclic existence.
And the cyclic.
And the reason it gets translated as cyclic existence is because it refers to the fact that this goes on over and over. Something goes on over and over and over again. And sometimes it's thought of, especially in the ancient Indian context, of I'm born, I die, I'm born, I die, I'm born, I die. How do I get out of this round of life?
It doesn't
mean
samsara.
No, samsara.
Okay, then my book is all. I have a lot of books that translate to samsara.
Well, samsara is suffering.
Okay.
But it means cyclic existence. And nirvana means freedom from cyclic existence. Suffering, the Sanskrit for the word suffering is actually dukkha. So it gets they're translating samsara as suffering because being in samsara is a suffering experience. So, we always think, once we sort of start hanging out with for this thought after a while, that we know what samsara is. And I think it's actually very difficult to know what samsara is, because if we knew what samsara was, we wouldn't be stuck in it. But we are, so that must mean we don't know what it is. So it's actually a very deep subject to understand cyclic existence, and in some way it's kind of mysterious, even though it seems straightforward, like, you know, it's like first grade Buddhism. Oh, yeah, cyclic existence. You know, we're going to get out of this. This is not good, you know. So, the reason that I'm thinking about this is because of something that happened when we were on vacation in Tillamook. And Tillamook is one of those places I really love, and I really like being with my in-laws there and all that kind of good stuff. And my brother-in-law is the contractor who loves to go to, you know, Home Depot and other tool stores and good things like that. Anyway, so the last night we were there, Kay joined me after I was there for a while. She and her sister go to the antique show, the Antique Expo, and she buys a lot of stock for her store. And Doug and I would just soon be tarred and feathered as we were at the Antique Expo. So we flew to the coast and the house. But anyhow, then Kay came and joined us. And so the last night, we were sitting on beach, Cape Mears Beach, actually, or Mears Beach. We're sitting there, and the tide was coming in, and there weren't a lot of people on the beach because it was a little chilly and the end of the day, and that's not a real popular beach anyway. Most people don't even know it's there. But there was this one family there with a couple, two or three children, I don't remember how many. I think there were two young. There was a girl who was maybe 6 or 7, and she was blonde, and she had like this like 6 or 7 year old girl thing, you know, like clarity, purity, energy, enthusiasm, everything wonderful kind of thing. And then there was a younger one who was maybe 3 or 4, her sister, or maybe her brother, maybe her sister. That age, you can't always tell, you know, what's going on, especially if you want to make a kind of tissue. That doesn't matter. Anyway, and the two parents were sitting there. So this blonde girl, I got to watching this blonde girl, because what she was doing was, she was between the rocks and the tide that was coming in. And she was pale, this is like classic, she was pale, this little shovel thing. And she's filling a pail full of sand. It was interesting. And she filled a pail full of sand, and she cut it down. Then she had this kind of, sort of like a knife kind of thing. went right over the top with incredible care to make the top as smooth as she possibly could. She packed all the sand in with the tension that she built the top. Just like scraped it across the top to make it as smooth as possible. And she picked the bucket up and she turned it over like this. And she gets perfect tower for sandcastle, I thought. And she did the same thing again with this incredible care and enthusiasm. Thump! Second one, right next to it. And so my mind went to, oh yeah, she's building sandcastles and there's the surf going, you know, and the tide's going to come in, it's going to wipe them out no matter what. It's kind of a metaphor for life, isn't it? Because I've been on vacation for about 10 days at that point. I was feeling sort of philosophical rather than, you know, what's wrong with your computer and what's this glitch about and that's the only way I spend my time. When you forgot your password, right? Did you read the instructions and the login page that said what to do? And so you didn't have to call me and I have to call me. Okay, I'll answer your question. But, you know, this is my life. So now I'm watching this girl do this. But then she did something else that was really surprising. With this incredible care. Thump. Thump with these two things. When I thought she was about to do a third one, she didn't. She went over to those two that were there and she just attacked them. Judo chops. Completely obliterating them after all that care, you know. And there was no particular shape to anything. You know, she just had these two towers that were next to each other and kablooey. And then she did it again. And she dug up the sand with incredible care, packed the bucket, scraped across the top with incredible precision so it was absolutely flat. Turned it over, kaboom, which meant, of course, that the absolutely flat parts you couldn't see at all because that was now where the tower met the sand. Did it with another one, did it with a third one, and then did it. She just kept doing that. And she was totally enjoying herself, and she was totally into it, and totally having fun. With all that precision in their heart, then she destroyed it. And then her sister kind of got the idea from watching her and starting to do this thing. And I thought, okay, now I was looking at that, and I was thinking, samsara in the sense of like you build your sand castles and surf them and wipe them out. That's like ordinary garden variety view of samsara. You're going to do something that will just come along and take it out no matter what it is. You can build a great career, you can do whatever. You know, you can be a great musician and in the end, it's all gone. But no, see, I saw something else and then your mind was in this frame. And what I saw was that we create things and then we have to do them. We create things and we have to do them. So I reflected on my own life and I thought, oh yeah, well let's see, you know. I really wanted to be at some point as a person to be dean. I wanted to be dean of school. So I got to be dean of school. As soon as that happened, I started hating it really quickly until I did it. Then I wanted something else, and I thought, boy, what I really want is, you know, we have a house in San Francisco, and Jay and I get settled in this office. Well, in 5 years, it was kind of like, how do we get out of this city? And this house is a big burden. Let me out of here. And after going through all kinds of travails to find that job, after quitting the last one, for a while, being essentially stupid from a professional point of view, I did the same thing all over again, right? And so, blah, 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 and transition to difficulty. Here I'm grand. You know, am I going to do the same thing all over again? This is the samsara that I saw in this girl creating and destroying. But that was looking at it from a certain side, which is the way in which we create and destroy, and we go through the same cycles of things over and over again. I mean, how many people do you know that have gotten married to the wrong person and then got married to the same wrong person with a different name and so on and so forth. But they were the same wrong person. And then they got married to the same wrong person a third time, or whatever. Or, you know, over and over again, we see this. And people undo themselves. So that's sort of the negative side. But the other thing that I saw was the artfulness of the game that she was playing. Because on the one hand, she was doing and undoing, but on the other hand, she was totally involved in the joy of creating and destroying, like, incredible perfection. When she destroyed it, she totally destroyed it. And when she created it, she totally perfectly created it, even though that the precision was invisible because it was turned to bucket silver. For her, that was really important. So what I reflected on and what I thought about is, it is the case that cyclic existence on the one hand is, we do the same thing over and over again. We all know how we do the same thing over and over again. All of us can think about it, come up with some, yep, I did that one again, you know, how can I stop doing that one? Because, you know, I do it and then it. But the other side to it is sort of the artfulness of the dance of life. And they're the same thing. If you want, yeah, you can say that. Yeah. It's sort of like human beings are trapped, if you will, or blessed, depending on which side of it you want to look at, with this situation of samsara, where you can either be kind of broken on the wheel, or you can dance with the wheel and get broken anyway. Or you can be broken and realize that it's the dance of being broken. And Buddhism talks about itself as being the middle way between the two extremes. And so somehow the Buddhist path is understanding that samsara, on the one hand, is this repetitive thing that's so hard to break out of. We create over and over again cycles that bind us. But on the other hand, there's an artful quality and a dance. You said Shiva, you're right. There's a dance that's going on. And somehow we're caught between one day feeling the dance is going on and the other day feeling that, you know, the wheel is breaking us. Is going on. Somehow there's this thing of getting in the middle between them so that you see that both are going on and somehow it's okay. And the breaking doesn't feel like breaking exactly anymore. And the art and the dance feels different than it did before. Now, I can't say that I know what that means. But, you know, I just saw that really strongly. And, you know, I'd seen kind of the art thing walk on the beach in San Francisco, like, kind of like dragged out, you know, 12, 15 years ago. I was walking on the beach, and I got this sense of, like, yeah, there's a part of this that's art. But it came up really strongly last week. And so I wanted to share that. Because, you know, sometimes when I do these talks, I'm talking kind of like more abstract, like, okay, you know, this is what this text says, this is what this thing says, and so on. So I really felt that that was a very striking experience for me. I wanted to share that because it was such a clear, clean way of, you know, I can still see, I'll probably always see, I mean, this girl is going to be, you know, like 7 years old in my mind forever, like Dante's Beatrice, right?
Yeah.
Never grew up for Dante. Beatrice is always the same age. I mean, if he had, was she 12? So my Beatrice, well, she's not my Beatrice. Anyhow, this girl must have been 7. I mean, what would Dante have done if he'd run into her when she was 50? Would she? Yeah, probably not. Anyway, doesn't matter. This girl's always been 7. So that's it.
Very difficult moment that brought on.